I'd like to read this evening from Metaphysical Meditations by Paramahansa Yogananda, entitled, I Am Flying Home. Goodbye, blue house of heaven. Farewell, stars and celestial celebrities, and your dramas on the screen of space. Goodbye, flowers, with your traps of beauty and fragrance. You can hold me no longer. I am flying home. Adieu to the warm embrace of sunshine. Farewell, cool, soothing, comforting breeze. Goodbye, entertaining music of Maya. I stayed long, reveling with all of you, dancing with my variously costumed thoughts, drinking the wine of my feelings and my mundane will. I have now forsaken the intoxications of delusion. Goodbye, muscles, bones, and bodily motions. Farewell, breath. I cast thee away from my breast. Adieu, heartthrobs, emotions, thoughts, and memories. I am flying home in a plane of silence. I go to feel my heartthrob in him. I soar in the plane of consciousness above, beneath, on the left, on the right, within and without, everywhere, to find that in every nook of my space home, I have always been in the sacred presence of my Father. And from the book, Light from Many Lamps. It was early morning. The bright sun streamed through the windows of the Craigie House in Cambridge, where George Washington had once had his headquarters, and where a young Harvard professor now lived. He lived, in fact, in the very room that Washington had occupied. And as he stood gazing out of the window at the sloping lawn and the elms, he wondered if Washington might not have stood here once, feeling perhaps as he did, unutterably lonely and dejected. The young man's wife had died 3 years ago, but he longed for her still. Time had not softened his grief, nor eased the torment of his memories. He turned restlessly from the window and wondered how to spend the time before breakfast. He was a poet, too, this young professor, but he had no heart for poetry these days. He had no heart for anything, it seemed. Life had become an empty dream. But this could not go on, he told himself. He was letting the days slip by, nursing his despondency. Life was not an empty dream. He must be up and doing. Let the dead past bury its dead. Suddenly, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was writing in a surge of inspiration, the lines coming almost too quickly for his racing pen. And this is what he wrote. Tell me not in mournful numbers, life is but an empty dream. For the soul is dead that slumbers, and things are not what they seem. Life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul. Not enjoyment and not sorrow is a destined end or way, but to act that each tomorrow find us further than today. Art is long and time is fleeting, and our hearts, though stout and brave, still like muffled drums, are beating funeral marches to the grave. In the world's broad field of battle, in the bivouac of life, be not like dumb, driven cattle, be a hero in the strife. Trust no future, however present, pleasant, let the dead past bury its dead. Act, act in the living present, heart within and God overhead. Lives of great men all remind us, we can make our lives sublime, and departing leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. Footprints that perhaps another, sailing o'er life's solemn main, a forlorn and shipwrecked brother, seeing shall take heart again. Let us then be up and doing, with a heart for any fate, still achieving, still pursuing, learn to labor and to wait. Could be said and can be said of Mother that she lived life with a great passion, that she brought everything in with her, and in her 87 years of living, she lived much of life. She lived it to its fullest, and she shared that living with us. Though we mourn her passing and we are sorrowful that she is gone, still she leaves us footprints upon the sand. Footprints for us to emulate, not in a mechanical way, not in a way that we would be like her in every way, but rather in the spirit of her consciousness, in her dedication toward finding God realization, in serving God in every individual, in loving everyone as she did. We are sometimes lost for words. We are sometimes lost for expression of our love and of our gratitude. And yet, the greatest thing that Mother said, the greatest gift that we could give her is our own God realization, putting ourselves at the feet of God and surrendering ourselves completely. For this is the life and the consciousness that she worshipped, that she strove after, and that she demonstrated in her life. By focusing our minds upon God, as she talked about, practicing the presence of God, we feel our consciousness, we fill our hearts with the everythingness of God. It is the greatest, most powerful, positive thought that we can introduce into our consciousness by focusing our mind upon God alone. It is the greatest spiritual maxim that we can enact in God's law by focusing our minds upon God alone. And by surrendering ourselves to God and Guru, and by tuning ourselves to the presence within ourselves, we might find ourselves lifted up. We find that our consciousness is transformed, and that it's no longer as it once was, but rather it is as it could be. It is a promise that we might return to our heavenly kingdom. Now Jesus said, God and the kingdom of heaven are to be found within, and that within is within our own consciousness. By focusing our mind upon God alone and not letting any distractions bother us, we find ourselves completely focused upon one heavenly kingdom, that one earthly source and heavenly source for everything that we are. For life was spawned by God, created by God. And there is nothing that was not created by God. In the universal sense, everything is of God. Every man, every woman, every child, every experience is all from God. Swami Ram Dass was such a wonderful demonstration of this. What a wonderful thing it was for Mother to meet such great masters in her life, both Yogananda and Swami Ram Dass, such powerful souls, such very different expressions of God within and God without. And yet they worshiped the one same God. It is as before time that, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. There is no separation. And when there is sorrow in another, it is their sorrow within us. And when there is bliss in another, that too creates bliss within us. God is always present. God is always blissful. God is always compassionate. And if we but train our minds to tune into Him constantly, then we might be able to focus ourselves upon that one consciousness, and we might be able to demonstrate that consciousness in our lives, not occasionally, not once a year or twice a year, but take Him into the most intimate details of our life, and to follow His guidance, no matter what the cost. And this is the greatest teaching of all, that we should not value anything over this one consciousness, that the consciousness of God should take precedence before all other things. It does not mean that we cannot enjoy life. It does not mean that we cannot enjoy our time upon this earthly experience, but rather that none of these should take precedence over finding God within. Perhaps one of the most wonderful stories Mother told was that in going the final mile with Swami Ram Dass, she was advocated to her that she should surrender everything, her family, her children, everything that she had, and surrender it at the feet of God. And this she did. And going through terrific and terrible experiences on her way of carrying her cross and coming through to the other side, a transformed being, she yet felt a tremendous love for her children and her husband. And so she went to Swami Ram Dass and asked him about this. And Swami Ram Dass asked her a simple question, can you see God in them? And of course she said, yes, you could. And he said, love God. And so God does not separate us from those that we love. He does not take away things from us, but rather he adds to life. You might have life and have it more abundantly. This is the great promise. And this is the promise of God realization for each one of us. By realizing God within ourselves, we also realize the presence of the Guru and of our great line of masters. And feeling our presence and our oneness with them, we feel our oneness and presence with them always. There may be times when we feel deep separation. During those times, use that experience to reach out your heart to God with ever-increasing passion, wanting Him more greatly and greatly. And that if you don't feel a longing for God, pray to God that He might give you a longing, an aching heart, that you might not rest until you feel your oneness with God, that you might be more tempting than all temptation in this world, and that the love that He has might sweep away all smallness, all bitterness, all resentment, all the things that we have created for ourselves, and that there might be a tremendous healing in our lives, that with the presence and the consciousness of God, that we might be healed of our past hurts, and that we might not build separations and barriers and walls between ourselves anymore. But that this great sweeping grace might come into our lives and wash away grief, wash away sadness, wash away hatred, anger, bitterness, and might take it away forever. Until we only feel the flow of consciousness, until we only feel the flow of God pouring through our souls, pouring through every cell of our body, lighting us up as if we were a Christmas tree, giving us of His grace, giving us of His wonderment. This by offering up the pencil of this world, our attachments to the little things might we have. So this great commandment Mother enjoined upon us, that we might practice the presence of God above all other things, that we might focus our minds upon God, and that we might express God and the love of God in all that we do, in our expressions to everyone that we meet. And it does not mean that we will feel an act of love towards every individual that we meet, perhaps. But what it does mean is that we will see God there, that we will see God as activity, that we will see every person as an expression of life. And they could not have their life for their being without it being the will of God. And that we might honor that life, and that we might honor that being, the truth of that being, the truth of that life. Swami Ram Dass said one of the reasons why he saw God in everyone was that was the greatest way to uplift them, by recognizing the best in them, whether they manifest that best or not. But by recognizing it, he sowed a seed. He gave something to them. He gave a new idea. And he was relentless with that idea. He never gave up on it. Let us emulate the great saints. Let us emulate the great masters. Let us put our feet upon the sacred path of God realization. And let us not look back to the earth of the life. Let us rather focus our minds and our concentration upon realizing God. Jesus said to his disciples that he must needs go, so that the Comforter might come to them. We have had a great demonstration of Christ's consciousness to an individual. And now it is time for us to redouble our own efforts at realizing God and Christ and Guru within ourselves and making that manifest to all whom we meet. There is no other destiny that is greater than this. There is no other life that is better lived than this. And if you feel yourself separate from God, then use that separation. Yearn for God. Cry for Him. Strive for God realization. Do not rest until you find Him dwelling within your heart and everywhere about you. Realizing the universal vision that you are one with God and all is but a manifestation of God. Do not settle for intellectual knowledge, but rather actual spiritual experience. Do not rest until this active ingredient is a part of your mind, your body, your soul, your consciousness, everything that you are. And until the perfume of His presence pervades all that you are and all that you will be. I received a wonderful letter from Priscilla Alden of Amrita, and I'd like to read it to you. Dear David and Elvie, my mind keeps turning to Mother Hamilton and the blessed privilege I had to meet her and to get to know this great saint of God. It was Mother Hamilton that in this greatness of spirit began the first of many telephone calls throughout the past 12 years and spontaneously gave Amrita Foundation her generous spiritual support. Her calls came several times a year, but always that special one at Christmas time. And I so cherish now the one I received just a few weeks ago from her this Christmas season. I vividly remember during my many conversations when her health was very poor and painful. She never complained or showed any of the human frailties of discouragement or self-pity. When I reflect on Mother Hamilton, she was always filled with the newness of spiritual enthusiasm, brimming over with triumphant courage, totally unshakable and unwavering in her life's commitment to Master Yoganandaji's teaching and attunement. I love her for many reasons, but at the pinnacle of my thoughts of her is the very real and clear picture of a beautiful, strong, saintly lady, extremely forthright with dauntless determination to spread the teachings and love of her guru. Her love for him was limitless and unconditional, a true mirror of divine love. I could go on and on about her, but the thought from the heavenly touch of the Great Ones is that we should share this life and love with others. Amrita Foundation joyously sends our gift and tribute and love of Mother Hamilton as seed money to begin a fund that would be used to publish her life and works. As a direct disciple of Master, Mother Hamilton's life and works will be an inspiration to all of us. As you give her service, David and Elvie, and feel her presence in Master, our own devotion here will be flowing to you. May the peace that passeth understanding be unlocked from the depths of our soul. And unceasing blessings, in the name of Paramahansa Yogananda, Priscilla. There have been many questions that have come my way about how we shall continue and various other kinds of topics. And I would like to cover some of those at this time. Mother, of course, had established a pattern for our services, and this we will continue. As she received it from Yogananda and we received it from her, so will we continue on. And as in my conversations with Mother, we spoke of continuing on with the work of giving service to those who came to us. My own feeling about this is, as Mother reflected in her own, that if only but one comes to the service, then she shall be there for that one. And I feel, too, the same way. I have no expectation. I do not know what the future brings. I know that all of you have been very faithful and true, and that is indeed great in my heart. When I first met Mother, I was from not this area, and I would often leave and go traveling, and always feeling a touch of Mother, a oneness with Mother. It was indeed wonderful. And when I came here to live, there was a certain group that had gathered around Mother, and there was a society who got together for social gatherings and so forth. And this was wonderful. It was as if I were brought into a spiritual family, sharing many of the same types of values, the same types of thoughts, the same types of devotion, the same types of desire for spiritual God realization. And so, wishing to continue in the spirit of a spiritual family, recognizing that we are all disciples of God and disciples of Mother, and not having any thoughts in relationship to this. However, Mother made it clear in the last couple of years of her life that she would pass on her spiritual mantle to me. I cannot explain to you the gravity or the depth of this. However, I do know that I have felt a tremendous oneness with Mother during this past week, a tremendous flow, and I felt my own consciousness change within me. My own desire is to continue to share in brother and sister discipleship with you all, to serve God in any way that I can, and to keep my mind first and foremost focused upon God and the God realization of God within my own life. This is my first and greatest desire, and then to express that God realization in whatever ways I might be able to. In terms of people giving and donations, and many have given generously for many, many years to Mother. And Mother, of course, depended on that for her support. And this is not the situation for Elvie and I. However, and when we took over the rent of the church, and many of you have generously given toward that end and consistently, and that we very much and deeply appreciate, we have set aside a checking account for everything that is given to us. And that money is used for Mother's spiritual work. And there are many expenses, of course, that have come up with the funeral and so forth. But looking toward the future, some of the things that I see is the creation of a library for Mother, of her works, of her tapes, of her writings, of the different ways that she came to teach us, and wanting to collect that and to catalog that and make that available for devotees of God. The other piece is that the possibility of publishing Mother's work, as Priscilla so graciously gave to us as seed money for publishing Mother's work. She is very much interested in seeing Mother's works published. And I too can see many of Mother's works, particularly in the way of transcriptions of her talks being formulated into a book and published in that way, with the editorial that these are the original unedited talks, and not apologizing for them in any way. They read beautifully, they truly do, if you haven't read any of her talks, and that this might be published and put out to the world in this way. And so that this is another project that we'd like to have. One thing I would like to ask all of you, and if you would contribute something in the way of a writing or a poem or something of that nature, I would like to put together a memorial for Mother, a booklet of different gifts of whatever you would like whether it would be a description of experience or experiences you've had with Mother, reflections or thoughts about her life, a poem that perhaps God has inspired you to write. Whatever you think might be appropriate, I would like to gather these things and put them together in the form of a book, in the form of a memoriam for Mother. Also, whatever other types of things people would like to donate for Mother's library. I have envisioned a room filled with the books of Mother's, filled with things, tapes, recordings, where earnest devotees of God can come and can study and can more greatly reach out with their own God realization. Mother has many books that were first editions or that are out of print, and she has generously donated them to me, and my intention with the provision that she always was clear that she would not want these to be loaned out, but rather for it to be in a reading room type of a situation where people could come and look at these various books and be able to read them there. And so exactly all the details of how this will be worked out, I can't say at this time. However, that is another thing that we would like to accomplish. And so carrying on, first and foremost, with our own God realization, with our own inner understanding of God within ourselves. And secondly, to bring together the things that a lifetime of teaching, a lifetime of experience, a lifetime of revelation of Mother, and to make that available in a library where people who are truly seeking for their God realization might come and find inspiration on their own path toward their God realization. At this time, we will continue to meet here at the house. We will continue with the same format that we have now of prayer and meditation and a talk. We will continue to hear tapes from Mother. And we will come together with a single focus of realizing God more greatly within our own being. Name and fame were never part of Mother's plan for herself, that she could have taken many opportunities in the past to more greatly expand than she did, but she was uncompromising. And I believe that in the spirit of Lari Mahasya and the householder yogi, Mother has continued with that. And meeting here in the home again brings back a simplicity, a closeness, and an intimacy that I greatly love and appreciate. We will continue on not asking for any money, as Mother did, and as I took in my vows as a minister not to do. And also, as I took in my vows as a minister not to advertise. And in this way, we will continue to work quietly, keeping our attention and the focus of our work upon God. These are all the things that occurred to me at the time. Perhaps there are more questions at this time. And if there are, it would be a good time to talk about the questions about the future, continuing on with the work.
Maybe we can talk about also the contributions of copies of letters to my community.
Yeah. With any materials that you might think might add to Mother's library, we'd certainly be glad to accept those. And you know, if there are areas that you would not want more widely known. Certainly point that out, and we would certainly use our discretion to privacy and that kind of thing. But if there are things that you've received from others that you think would add to the library of the works, that would be greatly appreciated.
We're going to continue with our monthly meeting with
We started and we'll continue with going through the lessons and having an open discussion once a month of the lessons. That's a good thing.
What lesson are we on?
We'll be on lesson number 3.
Now, this is a once a month thing?
Yes. Okay. And I'll try to announce the week before we go. Well, I thought about picking a week, and that might be a good thing to do, but I haven't picked one at this point. It's important to me that we carry on in the same spirit. And it was a suggestion of a wonderful devotee that perhaps we incorporate and have tax deductible donations. So I suggested that to Mother, and she said, "Well, that's I don't ask for anything." So why would anybody worry about that? Quite clear that she wanted to continue on in the spirit she always had. And that was wonderful.
She does keep things pure.
Yeah. So I believe it was Malachi Martin in the decline and fall of the Roman Catholic Church marked the decline as when they were given great the Roman Catholic Church was given great worldly and temporal power.
State religion.
Yeah. And I think that there's great power in keeping it very simple, low-key, and direct.
And people are giving when they want to give, and not because they're just
getting
out of benefit of giving to themselves.
People have asked me around the funeral and that kind of thing, well, what are your expenses? How much will you need? And my feeling is about that, is that to go within and ask God with intellect and to do that, and to give or not to give, for that direction.
We were at SRS over Christmas at the temple, and a very nice service by a the only weak point I thought was at the end when we passed out the little bowl or offering plates, just like any church, and up and down the aisles they went, and passed back and forth. And you do get a lot of money because there is that, there's a way of standing over you saying you have to put something in it, but you sure feel like you do. You know, you start digging for your pocket, and they bring in a lot of money, but it just seems so much purer the way Mother just had it back there and doing it. Nobody
And many people gave to Mother through so many other means too, that no one ever knew what was in that bowl ever meant anything.
And I said to somebody one time, that the first few years I was with Mother, I don't think I gave her anything. So I remember giving a little donation at Christmas, and she never treated me any differently. I know that some people are probably giving her hundreds and hundreds of dollars. No,
I
mean, that's something that very much attracted me to Mother, too.
Oh, yeah, you know what it is, something new. We always have all, or I have these little tests. You know, what are their motivations and why they want me to do this, and suspicious in the beginning. If nobody ever asks you for any money, if there's never a place to ask, if there's never any big fundraising campaigns, you know, you start feeling like, you know, the motivations at least aren't monetary and material.
And it is real.
Exactly.
Mother's famous saying that God cannot be bought or sold.
Right.
I know that there has been expressed concerns about, you know, ritualizing things or becoming an organization and that kind of thing. But I assure you that that's certainly not my intention. And the living consciousness of God is what we see. And that will always be eternal. That will always be fresh and new to any generation and any seeker after God.
I'm glad that that's my sense of what Mother felt very, very strongly during all the time I knew her.
Mm-hmm.
She had it anyway.
I think it was in the autobiography that Master said that, you know, destroy all the books on mathematics, and mathematics will be rediscovered again because there's principles there. Destroy all the books on religion, and the true principles of religion, spirituality, will be rediscovered because it's based on a truth from God.
Boy, that's interesting.
I stop and think, do you need books to know the kind of person you are?
Yeah, most of this stuff I don't know.
If you don't know, you'll be given and you feel sad.
I certainly appreciate your continued attendance. I would do it, whether anybody was here or not. I get so much out of all of you sharing of consciousness and love and spirit. So, it uplifts me, changes me, and reminds me of what my real consciousness, my real goal should be. The family has been absolutely wonderful, and there are tapes, there are things of Mother's that are being given from Mother's library. It's unbelievable. It's not only things that Mother's had, but other devotees who have been with Mother for a number of years who have materials and things like that, who are spontaneously just saying, this is yours, you know. And it's quite amazing to watch. One of the things that we've considered, and it's one of those things that God will have to provide for, but this room above our garage is kind of a short person's room to raise the roof on that, create a library there, and also have it as a place to meet for services.
Mm-hmm.
We had shelves along the side of the library.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's got a nice cathedral shape to it, too.
It's the only drawback would be the same thing as Bonnie's, is would be parking eventually. Well, but that's maybe down the road. But eventually, I think you're going to have trouble with parking. They probably can get a little something.
One of the things that, as we did this last summer, I would like to begin to break for some other students in the past. And also, kind of an off thought, but on Ash Wednesday, when it comes up, I would like to show Brother Sun Sister Moon here, for any and all who would like to come. Have it as a social time, but also.
So is that a wedding season?
Mm-hmm.
Should be about a week or so.
Yeah.
I was going to look before the service tonight, and I didn't do it. It's not this one. I could look. Could you look?
It'd either be this one.
There's a calendar.
There's
no clock.
It's a calendar in the office.
And remember, when I suggested that, I was suggesting having kids coming, too, for that, so that we can
get... Because Easter's March 31st.
How far away from Easter is that?
48.
That's 48.
So, so far.
Oh, no.
Not next Wednesday, must be the problem.
Ash Wednesday is the 13th, so this is Wednesday.
Yeah.
Oh,
So let's plan it for this Wednesday. And
when is Easter then?
Let's say 7:30, would that be a good time to
have?
If you were going to have children, it'd be better to have it earlier.
So far.
If that's possible. When I suggested that kind of thing with David, I said it would be nice to have something that we could bring the kids back to from time to time. Because we're really getting out of touch with you know, Sunday school and never being able to. I mean, I'm really feeling that for Nicole.
Well, that would be something that is about if they have the room about the garage, about the church, if they have Sunday school,
too. Well, we first need some kids to come to Sunday school.
Well,
otherwise, they would have Sunday school in your other room. But that's the,
thank you.
But I thought that.
You're a Sunday school of one, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I really like
I would rather in the summertime to go, not the summertime, but I mean the spring and the fall to go to daytime. Or was it the other way around? I was saying in the winter to have it during the day because sometimes it's real. I used to find it real hard to come up in the evening. I haven't been finding it as hard lately, so I don't know whether it was just a psychological thing or what, but I was wishing that it was like Sunday nights, I was just kind of feeling like curling up.
You know, I think when a group grows, a lot of this will take care of itself. And when you have a large group, people kind of expect to meet on Sunday morning. And then when you have a large group, you can meet on Wednesday evening.
Yeah. I was thinking that Sunday at 10, I mean, 9 is too early. 11 is kind of late because by then, you know, 10 is too early. But I like evenings right now. But if you would, that's when our Sunday school dropped off, was when we went to the evenings. And if we ever went on a Sunday school again, we need to go back to the evenings.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to get a lot of people, a lot of kids moving.
Or maybe.
I think that's real hard. I find 7 o'clock real hard. I don't know what would make a difference, but I think people are busy with activities during Sunday.
How we might be proceeding, or any suggestions also?
Well, I was out of the room. What's happening?
Okay, well, maybe I can talk to you a little bit afterwards.
All right.
Well,
thank you. Well, I guess I'd like to say, along with this Wednesday, I am really glad you're doing that, David, that it's to have some kind of a, I mean, even if you only get one or two kids, to have some kind of special thing for kids every now and then. It could include all the adults, but maybe a special focus on kids, that maybe you could talk to the kids. Just, I mean, adults would be all welcome and would probably get a lot out of it, too. Just like some churches where they have the little children's service first and they talk to the children and the children go up to Sunday school. Just something with a focus on kids, and then we can specifically invite all the kids. And it'll have to be the same thing as with your other services if you have one. We still have one. But I know as a parent, I would appreciate that. And I think that maybe some other parents would start bringing the kids just so they get one. Well, that's what we're doing this Wednesday, but that was my suggestion.
Is this Wednesday too soon, or should we wait another week for that?
Fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
The bad night for me.
Mm-hmm.
But the following Wednesday is even worse. So I've already got three things that following Wednesday that I'm supposed to be on. I'm supposed to be at three different places, and I'm going to have to choose one that has to do with work, so I have to go to that one. But
I'd very much love to have you, Kathy, but I think we'll go ahead and leave it for Ash Wednesday. Recognizing the significance.
I was going to say we could do it on Sunday Well, that's why I was saying just have a special Children's Sunday. We all come, but you know, David can talk. The kids used to really like it when you came down
talking. Mm-hmm. Okay, kitty. We're all excited, too.